Okay, we're having a good time today. That's important. Okay, you got to have a good time in church. Anyway, that prayer request was for Kay Cooper's grandson, who's in the hospital with RSV. And that was on the answering machine this morning. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for our worship time, our praise time, in song as well as in prayer. We just praise you for that. We thank you for opportunity to get together as a church family. We pray for those who are traveling. We know that we have certain families who are traveling for the holiday gone today, and give them safety. We pray for Kay Cooper's grandson as he has this RSV. We pray that you touch his body and heal him. And Father, we know there's many needs out there in our church body, and we just pray that you'll meet those needs. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word today. Speak to our hearts, our minds, our souls. Enlarge our souls in the sense of faith and growing as people. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the opportunities you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. There's so much to pray for. We could pray for, you know, our church. We pray for this world. We pray for Israel. Pray for Ukraine people. Lots of prayers. We got to keep praying. Amen. And so, but today we are in Thessalonians. And Thessalonians it's been a wonderful book. We're actually getting close to finishing 1 Thessalonians. And next week we will finish 1 Thessalonians. And then we will go into an Advent starting December 1st. We will have 4 weeks of Advent series sermons. And I love Advent. I love Christmas. But today is about being joyful and thankful, and we should be very joyful and thankful. This is, you know, many of you probably don't know, peanuts is one of my favorite things. I have lots of peanut stuff. I used to collect peanut stuff, you know, and this is, I wish they would have had the music with this, you know. They're dancing, actually, on this slide. If you go to the internet, you'll find them singing and dancing joyfully and thankfully, and that's what we should be. Well, this passage, there are two commands in this passage which we want to put in our lives. And those two commands are joy and thankful. We need to be joyful and thankful. Wow. That's exciting. And I think peanuts really, it just depicts it, doesn't it? Isn't that a great picture? They're dancing to the Lord, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if they are dancing to the Lord, but they're dancing. And it's just, they're happy. They're very happy in that sense. Very cool. So anyway, let's read our scripture. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 18, it says, For now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn them who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Boy, that's a tall order, isn't it? Then he says in verse 16, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Onto what is good. Reject every kind of evil. And actually, I probably went on a little farther than I should have, but that's okay. That's good stuff. I had the privilege growing up, I grew up in Fort Wayne. Actually, where John Baylock's son coaches basketball. In Fort Wayne, you have Indiana, IUPU, they used to call it, regional campus there, which is a large campus. And but growing up in Fort Wayne, I had a unique experience. In the elementary schools, and this actually ceased just a few years ago, they actually had worked out a proposition where they could bring trailers onto the campus and teach religious education 1 hour a week. And because it wasn't in the school, it was out in the parking lot in a trailer, and they would send a note home with the students. And so you could opt out. If your child did want to go, didn't have to go. If your child wanted to go, they gave them the opportunity to go. And it was unique. In fact, I think Fort Wayne's the only place I ever knew that had this go on. And it went on for over 50 years, but I think just recently it is not going on anymore. But during that half hour to an hour that you go out there, we would sing songs, we would have a little lesson, and we'd have scripture, and it was called religious education. And it was in the public school, but it wasn't in the public school. It was in the trailer just outside the public. And they'd move these trailers every week. They'd rotate them. And it was just an awesome experience. I remember Thanksgiving, or that week of Thanksgiving, really learning the Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Shout to the Lord with joy. And it talks about Thanksgiving. Actually, I did pull that up. It's an amazing psalm that it says, here it is. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. And know the Lord is God. And he who made us, we are his. And we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Anyway, that's Psalm 100. And I really learned that from a public school setting in some senses. It's amazing. That was a Thanksgiving experience. You know, we did Thanksgiving things, but that, putting that scripture and tying it in for me around Thanksgiving has always stuck with me. And I feel like it goes with today's, because today we're looking at two commands, that we are to be joyful and we need to be thankful. And that's, you know, I put that with Thanksgiving. I really do. You know, it's just, we can't have enough joy. And Paul, we'll talk about this scripture here some more, but Paul talks about in many scriptures that even in the times of hard times, that when we have times of tears, like when we've lost a loved one, or there's been an accident or sickness, that even during those times, we can be a joyous people. Sometimes we're happy even when we have tears. Amen? Because it really, you can be hurting inside, but yet know God's moving and know that is best in his hands and be joyous that way. And we can be thankful, too, even in tough times. And we have plenty of tough times. I think of all the tough, you know, we have it very good here in America. We have it very good here in Norfolk. And you think about, you turn on the news for a second and you see what's going on in Israel. And the march this week, wasn't that amazing? That they went to the Capitol, you know, there, that march was amazing. But those people are hurting because their loved ones are still hostages. Oh, wow. But yet, we can be joyful. And I think they should be too. And thankful. And it's just amazing in that sense. He says, always rejoice. What is it to always rejoice? That means that we are rejoicing continually. And it's hard to do sometimes, especially if you've been hurt. You know, it's hard to be joyful and thankful when you're been. But he says, always. It's an attitude. It's something within us that we have to maintain and have. Even though we might be sad inside sometimes, we still can be joyful. We really, really need to be. In Psalm 30, verse 5. I like the way it says it there. It says it this way. I wait for the Lord. My whole being awaits, and in his word I will put my hope. I wait for the Lord. You know, it's a thing. I like verse 1 of that same verse. It says, out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive for my cry for mercy. And if you, Lord, keep a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But you are there, but you are the forgiveness. You know, and it goes on. But the whole idea is, even we have so much to be thankful for, so much to have joy for, that joy, we should have joy that our sins are forgiven. I can stand pure before God, not that I'm perfect, not that I'm sinless, but in God's eyes I am because he has died for me, and I claim that, and you claim it, and we say, wow, God, I have so much to have joy for. You know, it's a wonderful life that we have in that sense. And so always rejoice and be joyful. You ever heard the term of sorrowful joy? That's kind of what we're talking about. Even when we have sorrow, we have joy. You know, it's sorrowful joy is a little bit what we're talking about. And even with the Thessalonians, he's struggling. You know, the Thessalonians here had their struggles tremendously, actually, you know, in the sense of, in the verses leading up to verse 16, and if you notice the word where it talks about, he encourages them in some way. He says, encourage the disheartened, help the weak. People get that way, don't they? They really do. We all do sometimes. In verse 12 there, he says, among you who care for you in the Lord, who are admonish you. You know, admonish is a word that we don't like, is it? You ever like getting admonished? No. That means that it's like a parent saying, no, you cannot do this. And when you get admonished, you hurt inside. And yet he says, be joyful. Be thankful. You know, so even as God's children, there's an admonishment. We're always afraid to admonish in the church. We think that we should have to be positive all the time. But, you know, admonishment does happen sometimes. And we should still be joyful in the admonishment, because what happens from the admonishment? It is to help us to grow closer to God. That's the purpose of it. And there are those who, as it says in Scripture, who are weak and those who are disheartened. That was happening in the church there, and the admonishment had to do with some were idle and not working like they should. But he says, be joyful, continually praying. Prayer has got to be so part of your life. And pray continually without ceasing is part of this. But in all circumstances, he says, give thanks. So we always rejoice. There's a little illustration with this. Actually, in Corinthians, it talks about always rejoicing. 2 Corinthians 6:10 says it this way, and this is more on the sorrowful end of things. Sorrowful, yet always what? Rejoicing, Paul says. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything. You know, you can have no money and be happy. It's really true. You can rejoice and be happy even if you have nothing. Because a lot of times people who have nothing have more than the people who have everything. It's just, you know, because wealth is not about and happiness and joy is not about things, material things. Here's an illustration called Beyond Riches, Beyond Wealth. Happiness is not determined by wealth or fame, but by character, says Billy Graham in his autobiography, Just As I Am. He goes on to say, Ruth and I had visited, have a vivid illustration, and had visited this island in the Caribbean. One of the wealthiest men in the world asked us to come and his lavish home for lunch. Man, that sounds great. He was 75 years old, and throughout the entire meal, he seemed close to tears. I am the most miserable man in the world, he said. Out there is my yacht. I can go anywhere I want to. I have my private plane, my helicopters. I have everything I want to make my life happy. Yet I am miserable, as he says in the illustration, as H. We prayed with him, trying to point him to Christ, who alone gives lasting meaning to life. Later that afternoon, we met with the pastor of the local Baptist church. He was an Englishman. He too was 75 years old, and a widower who spent most of his time taking care of his two invalid sisters. He was full of enthusiasm and love for Christ and others. I don't have 2 pounds to my name. Of course, pounds are money to him. He said with a smile, but I am the happiest man on this island. Billy asked Ruth after they left, well, who do you think is the richer man? She didn't have to reply because they both already knew the answer. That's so true. You know, wealth is not the answer to joy. I've been reading Elon Musk's book about his life, and he's quite the interesting person. He's on the autism spectrum over here. He makes a lot of crazy decisions, you know, very headstrong. Grew up in an abusive home with his dad, was very abusive, and has billions of dollars. They can do anything he wants. He's got his own rocket company. He's building rockets to go to Mars. You know, he thinks if we're going to survive this world, we got to build a colony in Mars. Wow. But you know what? He has missed the whole boat. It's not about any of that, is it? We know the creator of Mars. We know the creator of Earth, of heavens. We have joy, and we are happy, and we don't have billions of dollars. You know, it's interesting to you need to read some of that stuff just to say, wow, thank you, Lord, that I know you. You know, it's like I have the most important person in my life. I didn't say it or item. I said person, Jesus. And that's where real joy comes from, is Jesus. That's what it's really about. It's amazing, and people miss it. And they have opportunities. They do have opportunities. Give thanks in all circumstances. Giving thanks to everything. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, he says it this way. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. You know, I think that's about joy. I think it's about thanksgiving. It's so important that, you know, psalms, hymns from the Spirit, and make music in the heart, in your heart, always giving thanks to God our Father and everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks. You know, people get down on their luck, and people sometimes, but we should give thanks in everything. You know, it's an amazing thing. What do you know about Thanksgiving? When do we think about the first Thanksgiving here in America? Pilgrims, yeah. In what year? 1621. And they had their first, you know, so that, they arrived in 1620 at Plymouth Rock. You ever been there? I've been there. It's really kind of cool. It's a neat place. And anyway, then by that next fall, in 21, they had their first Thanksgiving. Awesome. But it took 200 years. Of course, we weren't a nation yet at that point. It took 200 years before President... You can't answer, Andrea. You know my answers. Who? Yeah, Lincoln. It's Lincoln. In 1663, he declared it a national holiday. 200 years later, yeah. 1863. And just think about it. I mean, it's just awesome. And they were going through the Civil War was at that time. And they needed that as a nation and as a community, as individuals, they needed Thanksgiving to come together and be thankful to who? To God. It's powerful. Thanksgiving should be part of who we are. Should be part of who we are every week, every day, being thankful to God for everything He's blessed us with. It's so powerful. And I think as you read through these, all these scriptures had joy and thanksgiving together, but they don't. They also have pray continually. It's amazing. Pray continually. The result of the joy and the thanksgiving is without ceasing, pray. That means pray continually, without ceasing. All the time. It means you have it in your heart, your mind, your attitude. You can be driving along and you see something happen over here, you pray for them. Or you can be walking along and somebody pops into your head, you pray for them. There's a reason that person has popped into your head, and that's for you to pray for him. I really believe that. You know, you wake up in the morning and say, okay, thank you, God, for a new day, and somebody pops in your head, you pray for him. You always need to be praying for, without ceasing, continually, heart, attitude. God will bless that tremendously. He really, really will. We should be pray without ceasing. There's a little story that goes with that. Of course, I have to have these little stories in here, but they help magnify, illustrate the truth. This is called Thanks in Hard Times. Now, this one is kind of dated, but I think it still applies. I actually believe we're still living in a false economy after COVID, but time will tell. This one is from an earlier time. Says, during the Depression, Williams Streggard was in a restaurant with friends who were all talking about how terrible things were, suffering people, rich people committing suicide, jobless people. Conversations got more miserable as it went on. A minister in the group interrupted. In 2 or 3 weeks, I have to preach a sermon on Thanksgiving Day. He says, what can I say that affirm in a period of the world that is in a depression like this? And I think the world is kind of in a depression even now. William felt the Spirit of God saying to him, why don't you give thanks to those who have been a blessing in your life and affirm those during this terrible time? He began to think about that, and he remembered a school teacher who was very dear to him, a wonderful teacher of poetry and English and literature. I don't even know if they teach poetry anymore. Isn't that sad? But poetry, English, and literature, who had gone out of her way to put a great love of literature and verse in him. It had affected him in all his writings and preaching. So he sat down and wrote the letter to this woman, now up in years. It was only a matter of days until he got a reply from a feeble, scrawled out handwriting from an aged person. My dear Willie, I can't tell you how much your note meant to me. I'm in my late 80s now and living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely. And like the last, I am like the last leaf of autumn lingering behind. You'll be interested to know that I taught in a school for more than 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation I ever received. Boy, isn't that amazing? 50 years. It tells you how important a little note can be. I ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered me as nothing has done in many years. Wow. The illustration goes on and says, I'm not sentimental, but I found myself weeping over that note, William said. And then he thought of a kind bishop or pastor or elder, now retired, who had recently faced the death of his wife and was all alone. This pastor or elder had taken a lot of time giving William advice and counsel and love when he first began his ministry. So he sat down and wrote the old pastor a letter. 2 days, a reply came back. Dear William, your letter is so beautiful, so real, that as I sat reading it in my study, tears of gratitude fell from my eyes. Before I realized what I was doing, I rose from my chair and called my wife's name to share it with her, forgetting that she was gone. You'll never know how much your letter has warmed my spirit. I have been walking around in a glow of your letter all day long. Wow. That came from a little book called Instruction for Thanksgiving from David Siemens. Anyway, Thanksgiving is so important. We need to be a thankful people. And as we gathered a little bit, and the food does smell good, doesn't it? I think it does. Anyway, don't try to overeat, but I know we all will. But we need to be joyful and thankful always. And sometimes it might be your assignment this week. I'll give homework. I haven't given homework for a while. Send somebody a note thanking them for what they've done in your life. You know, it can really make a difference. It's amazing. I received a note a few years back from a dear lady when we were from First Baptist in Cheyenne. Elvira Pinther was her name. I've kept it. I still have it. And she was in her 90s, and she sent me a note telling me how her daughter was. Her daughter was out in New York but had moved back to Wyoming to help her, and Elvira's passed away since then. But I've kept the note because the note was just encouraging. Elvira was unique because she had spoke 5 languages, and in her late 80s, she went with us on a mission trip. And she was so encouraging through that trip, and she saved us in the airport more than once because she knew the different languages. You know, she could speak Portuguese and Spanish, Russian, English, and there was another one in there, I forget. Huh?
Danish,
yeah. And you know why she could speak 5 languages? Her dad was a sailor, which is amazing. But that little note was huge, encouraging, and thankfulness, and I still remember that. We need to be joyful and thankful. And Paul, that's one of his commands. Be joyful and thankful, even in hard times or in tearful times. Pray continually. We need to do that. I want to share one more scripture with you, from Psalm 16:11. And it says it like this. Make known to me your path of life, and you will fill me with your joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And I've written in my Bible quite a while back, I put, yes, the idea that fill me with your joy, God's joy. That's what we want, isn't it? Won't you stand with me today as we sing our invitation hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. We're going to sing it two times through. And I want you to do that. I just want you to sing and live that way, turning your eyes upon Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's your another assignment. Turn your eyes upon him and live that way and be joyful and thankful every moment.